T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
This is real radio.
On 670 The Score.
You know, I know that you've probably been on a plane where you don't get peanuts on that particular day. They're not handing them out. That's because somebody on the plane has a severe allergy. It's really horrible.
I think that explains the dating life for our man Chris Ranji, right? He's just been hanging around people that have an allergy of sorts.
That's outstanding.
Can get you in trouble. I love the Ranger. Chris Ranji now a radio man in St. Louis. And they're down there in Florida, Dan McNeil.
That's right.
Getting ready for Cardinals games. Cardinals spring training taking place down there. And I don't know what their radio station's allocation of humanity is down there. I know what ours is going to be in a couple of weeks when we go out there to Arizona. How many people are we taking to Arizona?
I think there are 10 of us.
Oh, my goodness.
I think.
Score House.
Is going to be fun the first week of March in Arizona. You will be there. I will be there. And Parkins. We're doing a three-man show there. Chris Ranji, welcome to 670 The Score. We are a radio station here in Chicago. How are you?
Oh, how's that place?
It's good. How's your...
Hi, Chris.
hey, how's it going?
How's your place? How many of you from 101 ESPN down there in St. Louis, how many of you guys are down there?
They have sent four of us down here. It is my two co-hosts and me, and then our producer, and they have us in a three-bedroom house. And I got stuck rooming with... one of the rooms has two beds. So I'm rooming with the producer, Brad Barnes, and even though there are two beds, we just decided to use one.
so just one show. Do shows not get along? Is that why only one show couldn't get bunch of guys under the same roof for a week?
Of course we get along. It's not the score, Mac. Murph's not here. Yeah, everybody gets along just fine.
Okay. Don't be sensitive. I'm just asking.
Well, we're just trying to imagine what life is going to be like for us in a couple of weeks. How's
he just defined it, sleeping with other guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, hygiene, alcohol intake, any jail time so far? Where do those kind of issues stand for you guys?
Well, okay, first of all, let me get a time. Like what time? Okay, so your show's going, the afternoon show, right? Anybody else?
Yes, Bernstein and McKnight are going as well. I'm not sure if any other shows are going to be there very briefly. Last year, Mully and Haw were out for a quickie at the end of the week. I'm not sure if that's in the works for this year. No idea about the Grobber, which presents a whole new set of conversations.
But you know this place because it's a boondoggle. There's like six like video guys. There's like two promotion guys. Shane is going for some reason. Like, no, Mitch is going. So it's as many as can get on board, possibly.
I envision that like 12 to 13 people are going. 12 of you are staying in one house, and Les gets his own house.
He deserves it, though, Chris. He absolutely
does, man. So you know, we have the afternoons. We're on 2 to 6. Like you guys are, and we switched up hours because there are no games right now, so there are no players available for the afternoon. We've been doing the morning show all week, so we've been down here. You know, we go to 7-Eleven, so it's been weird because I'm not used to doing the morning show. So that's what we've done all week, and then we're going to switch back to the afternoon next week.
Ah, there you go.
You never feel rested, do you? It's just a series of naps for the rest of your life, or at least as long as you're committed to the morning thing.
Well, yeah, that's right. But I'm only doing this for a week.
Right.
Yeah. Until the morning guy who's been in afternoon says, I'm not going back.
Yeah, well, speaking of a series of naps, Les has been doing those on the air now for a good 20 to 30
years. Go to hell. Get out of here. We don't need you here.
Legend. Legend, Chris Ranji.
Last year, we had a mariachi band that showed up at Scorehouse. We had chefs, some outstanding chefs that showed up and did a dinner. We had a magician show up. We had Connor McKnight collapse on the con. It was that last night we were there. That was quite the festival of intrigue.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, I missed all of this. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was quite a show.
I don't think any of that's happening for us. We're going to be lucky to stay up past 8:30.
Well, yeah, just like White Sox pre- and post-game, this place has gotten a lot better since you left. All right, Chris Ranji joining us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are the Cardinals looking? This division is very packed, is very weird. There's four teams. If you told me all four of those teams were going to win between 85 and 90 games, I'd buy it. And that's with all of them going 16-3 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. But, like, are the Cardinals going to be able to withstand the onslaught of the other three?
I have no idea. So the way this division's going to work out, and Spiegs, you and I were on the Milwaukee station earlier today, about a half hour apart, and he asked me the same question. And I said, look, it's going to be four teams, and if you told me any of those four are going to win the division, I'd say, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. That fifth one is just going to totally suck. Other than that, you got four teams that legitimately could take that title. As for the Cardinals, here's the situation. They were a really good pitching team last year, but a lot of that pitching was helped out big time by a very strong defense, one of the best defenses in the National League. That has to happen again for them because they're going to go into the season with, number one, Miles Michaelis, who is, you know, about like their second or third starter in the rotation. He's got this forearm issue, which he's had a PRP injection now for the second time in about 5 months. So that's not encouraging. He rested the entire offseason and still is not feeling right. So he's not going to be there for the beginning of the year. They signed a Korean pitcher during the offseason who was either going to be in the bullpen or be in the rotation. Now it looks like he'll start in the rotation. They don't really know about Carlos Martinez. They want him to start in the rotation, but last year when he came back from injury, he was only capable of being in the pen. He told them he couldn't give them four or five innings a night, so they put him in the bullpen and he closed some games out. And then you've got Jack Flaherty, who's really good, and I think he'll continue to be good. And I don't know about Dakota Hudson. He was pretty good last year. Maybe he does that again. The thing is, those guys have to be good again. Because I don't know how they're going to score runs. I really don't. Aside from Paul Goldschmidt, who's a premier run producer, I mean, what else do they have? It's you don't know. Matt Carpenter's not been good for a year. And then really, he was only good in the last 2 years. He was good for 2 months. So you don't know about him. Dexter Fowler has been struggling. They've got two young outfielders, three really, that are going to fight for two positions. Colton Wong, Paul DeJong, you kind of know what they're going to be. And you know what Molina is. That's not a strong offense unless you have two young players just come up out of nowhere and rake immediately. But I don't know how they can count on it. So their pitching and defense is going to have to be good again with very few weaknesses if they're going to win the division.
What was the Cardinal fan base's reaction to the offseason the Cardinals just had?
They weren't very happy with it. Because they see a team, and I think they're right for this, because they see a team that, yeah, technically it's a smaller market in terms of baseball, but they bring in 3 million fans a year. The only team that does better than them in attendance in the National League during the season is the Dodgers. I mean, they sell so many tickets. They have that ballpark village, which they partially own, which is across the street, and they've expanded that this year. You know, they're going to be more businesses, and now residential housing and some office space is going up in there. And people see all of that. They see the construction that's going on right at the ballpark, you know, a lot like what's going on around Wrigley Field. And then they see a team say, well, we're not going to be in on Bryce Harper. We're not going to be in on Anthony Rendon. We're not even going to try. So there's a lot of, you know, there's an assumption that ownership is cheap because they're not even bothering to spend money or try to spend money on premier free agents. So they're not happy about it. And I get it because they do really well in terms of bringing in money, but they still think frugally, you know, I mean, like they don't overextend themselves with contracts, and I can't ever see them trying to do it.
You know, I really thought that they were going to be the ones to close the Nolan Arenado trade. I thought it was the Cardinals. And even if not that, that trade that they made for the Rays where they gave up Jose Martinez, I mean, you're a team that needs outfield or needs offense and you're giving up Jose Martinez. And I know Matthew Liberatore, the pitching prospect they got, is supposedly awesome, but that felt like the precursor to a big move. Do you think they got close to Arenado? Because they certainly have young pieces that they could have sent to Colorado.
You know, I got a honestly, Spiegs, I got a feeling that it's not entirely off the table yet. I still don't think it's, I mean, this is just my perspective. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's likely to happen. But at this point, even, I still would not be surprised. There are, so for example, Matt Holliday is still pretty close with the organization, and he's, you know, he lives back in Oklahoma, and he has allegedly, from what we hear, been trying to sell the idea to Arenado's because he's got the no trade clause. So if you know, there were a deal to happen, there's a thought out there that he would be open to having that done because Arenado and Holliday are pretty close. Arenado went to Oklahoma to work out with him during the offseason. So at least there's some interest on his part. It would come down to how much money the Cardinals would end up owing in the, you know, in his deal. Like they are just not interested in paying a player $30 to $35 million per season if they can avoid it. And, you know, they try at all costs to do it. So if they can maybe work out the money, I still think it could happen. I'm leaning toward it not happening at this point, but I would not say that it's completely off the table.
That familiar voice is Chris Ranji giving us a Cardinals scout on the Score Sports Radio 670. Which Cardinals players have had the most interesting, the most potent thoughts on the Astros cheating scandal in camp?
Probably Jack Flaherty, and he's been talking since camp opened up, since before we got down here. He tweeted a little bit about it. And he was pretty clear in how he felt. But, you know, when we talked to just about everybody else, you know, the manager, Mike Schilt, took a diplomatic approach. Adam Wainwright, who we've had him on every day this week. It's, you know, we're doing a feature with him this week. So we've had him on about it. And he didn't want to talk about it. I mean, he's like, I got my thoughts on it, but it's probably best if I don't say anything. Most guys have not really been they haven't said a whole lot about it, but Flaherty did. I mean, he was pretty clear that he thought what the Astros did was BS. And I'm amazed. I don't know how much you guys have talked about it, probably a ton, or what you said about it, but I still cannot believe the amount of players that have been willing to come out and say, you know what, screw those guys. You know, we're pissed off, because usually ball players are like, oh, you know, it is what it is. Nothing we could do about it. We just have to mind our own business. Like, that's how ball players typically talk. But to a man, most guys are just like, screw the Astros, which is, I think, to me, that's really remarkable.
Agreed. You know, this all goes back to the Cardinals, right? I mean, the Cardinals scouting director, Christopher Correa, who hacked into the Astros database, he made them angry, and they decided to then, well, if that guy can cheat, then we can cheat. This is my master theory that I'm working on now. It's my newest way to crap on the Cardinals, Chris. What do you think?
Oh, hey, whatever you got to do, man. He did say, if I remember right, Correa said at the time that he felt like the Astros were doing something, or maybe they had hacked into them, so he was like trying to be preemptive or something.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
So what you're saying is that Correa was actually he was ahead of his time in going after the Astros, and the Cardinals were in the right here. That's what you're saying.
Well, you know, we actually reached out to him to see if he would come on with us, see what he'd say, and he's like, I better not. So, because I'm, you know, we were kind of curious if, you know, maybe, who knows? I have no idea, but maybe he was like, I knew it. As soon as this came out, he was probably like, I knew those jerks were doing something. I knew it. But also, you know, he still committed a federal crime, so whatever.
See, here's the thing about the Cardinals. As a couple textures pointed out, you said that two guys have to come out of nowhere for them to be good.
Yeah.
That's how they roll. Every year,
yeah,
it's
I
like,
know.
Who is Tommy Erdman? Okay. All right, here he is. And then this year, Tyler O'Neill's got some pub on him as a young player, but maybe he's going to be the guy in left field. Like, there's you're going to have two guys come out of nowhere because that's what that organization does, Chris.
Well, at some point, that's going to run out. You know, it's worked out for a long time. You also have to remember that every time something like that has happened, there's kind of been another star on the team already. You know, there was somebody named Albert Pujols for a while, and there was Matt Holliday, and there was Matt Carpenter for a while was really good as a hitter. He was one of the better National League hitters. They've already had, like, big boys in the lineup that you knew you could count on. And, yeah, they got Paul Goldschmidt now. I'm fairly confident he's going to go back to being himself, but also he's getting older, so you never really know. You know, you never really know when a player is going to hit that wall. And I hope that hasn't happened for him, but it might have. But, you know, we're all kind of counting on a rebound season because he's Paul Goldschmidt. But, you know, again, you never know. I think that in order for something like what you're talking about to happen, there already has to be an anchor or maybe a couple of anchors in your lineup. So this little guy that comes up out of nowhere can just, you know, produce on his own, not feel any pressure, and then, you know, see what happens. But now they kind of need those guys. Like in order for this lineup to be good, Tyler O'Neill kind of has to be really good. You know, they're sort of counting on him. So it's really not the same as it was like 5 or 10 years ago.
Ranger, thanks a bunch for the visit. Always enjoy it. And by the way, from a distance, your White Sox are making a lot of news here in Chicago. We've spent almost as much time flapping our gums about the Sox this offseason as we have the Cubs.
Well, you know, they've taken a lot of criticism over the years, and they've earned that criticism. So it's nice to see them on the other end of it, you know, doing some good stuff. And I know people are excited about them, and that's awesome.
Yeah, people are excited about that, and they're also very excited that you're not here to enjoy it. Chris, thank you.
All of you.
Love you.
All of you.
See you, man.
Love your show.
Love you guys.
That's Chris Ranji from 101 ESPN down there in St. Louis.
One show eating up a house in Florida. Eating up a house? Uh-huh. That was a weird choice of words.
Eating up a house. Make a resolution to lose weight with Nutrisystem for men, just like Mully from The Morning Show, who lost some weight over the past 3 months. Join today, and when you buy your first month of food, you'll get a month absolutely free. Go to Nutrisystem.com/radio to get started. You mentioned your White Sox. Everybody in camp is wearing Lucas Giolito's belt. I want to talk about it.
Well, they should wear his belt at some point.
Yeah, well, they're all doing it. Every one of them.
And I will not wear his belt.
We might. If I get a chance.
Yeah, we're going to need a punchy thing.
I'm going to wear the hell out of that belt. We'll discuss next on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Man, with the moves we made, it's such a great combination of personalities, of experience. You know, the vibe in our clubhouse has always been good, and it's been guys have been getting closer, building strong relationships over the past few years, and now we get to bring in some guys that just have a wealth of experience. You know, we're already talking, getting into detail about talking about a few things, pitching wise, baseball wise, that, you know, gets me going, gets me really excited. And yeah, we're just going to continue on that path.
That is Lucas Giolito trying to work his way back to be healthy enough and be the opening day starter. What a fun year he had,
Matt.
Oh, back.
God, yeah. Hard to expect something of similar notes, don't you think, this year? You think he can replicate that?
I think he can, actually. I think he can. I think he figured so many things out at the same time. The biggest of which is the pitch usage. He became a totally different kind of pitcher. Became a guy who threw like 600 of a certain kind of fastball, the sinking fastball, in 2018. He threw none of them in 2019. None! He just completely, he figured it out. Four-seam fastball with carry and changeup and mixing the other stuff. I think he's going to have another great year.
Well, he's well coached, too. Don Cooper has done wonders for Giolito and everybody else who pitches in a White Sox uniform.
Did he have anything to do with that? Coop, do you have anything at all to do with that? Hey, Giolito's transformation in the offseason before last year was largely due to his high school pitching coach and himself. Like, Gio took control. He was the CEO of his own little pitching company, as you must, and he figured out like six different things to transform.
It was a radical turnaround from the 28 season when he and Tyler Chatwood were 1-2. Chatwood leading all of baseball and Giolito leading the American League, right behind Chatwood in walks. And it started early in the season. Chatwood pitched, I think, like six innings from the 1st of August on, and he still hung on to his walks title. Wow. Giolito never caught him. He flirted with it, but never got him.
It's a tough pace. Chatwood really set a tough pace.
That's a nice turnaround.
Yeah.
Second in the league in walks issued to being an all-star and a guy who's a number one.
Absolutely. And one of the things that he has used is this core velocity belt. Have you ever seen a core velocity belt?
Yeah, Derrick Rose, isn't he famous for having that?
that was a sex belt, a little bit different. I don't know.
Core velocity, right?
It increased his core velocity. Who is that? Whose laugh is that, by the way?
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know it either.
Oh, well, it's Ronji. I thought it was the unmistakable laugh of Chris Ronji.
I figured it was Ronji because you rolled it a few times while he was on.
Yeah,
but when you just rolled it, I think, well, maybe it's not Chris Ronji.
No. Okay, well, now we know.
So what does the belt do for us?
Oh, the core velocity belt, Mac. It's it looks like a harness for a parachute. This from James Fegan at The Athletic. It ties to the wall or the hand of a helpful teammate. Perhaps we could help Lucas out with it when we're down there in Arizona. And Tyler Johnson, the Sox prospect, says that as he was strapping himself in, he says, it's a device that allows you to feel exactly how you're falling offline in your delivery. Okay. So Giolito was the guy. You could see him between starts last year wearing a core velocity belt. He'd walk out to the bullpen, strap himself in alone, work it. Now there's like six belts.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down.
Yeah. There's six different belts lying around. And all those Sox pitchers are doing it. Carlos Rodon, seventh season with the White Sox.
Everybody's on board now, huh?
Rodon said, quote, I'll try anything new,
and this,
unquote.
Well, Giolito was doing this last year as well, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
He figured it out. It was one of the things that he added to his routine.
It worked for him. Must be good. Let's get a half a dozen of these.
Isn't that the way sports works? Hey, Lucas was doing a thing with a belt. You guys want to try that? Yeah, I'm in.
Looks kind of dumb, but look at the year he had.
That guy
man.
Had a good year. Yeah, I suck. I'll try it and try to suck less. Absolutely.
Okay.
Whatever
so
you got.
I now have a visual of what this looks like. It's not one of those things that needs the punchy thing for us to get the belt buckled. Burnsy liked that word.
Yeah, the punchy thing.
Search for words. It does have a word.
It's on an awl. An AWL is like the
a hole puncher?
Yeah, but it's like you use it for leather.
An awl?
Yeah. It's a thing to
use. That's a good word.
All A-W-L.
I hope I never use it again.
Well, it's probably in some kind of jackass's crossword clue on the weekend that he tweets out. But he's our jackass.
Yes, he
is. Wow. What an awful thing to think.
So, you know, there's your core velocity belt. Are you I love Don Cooper talking about modern baseball, modern technology, him wrapping his head around Rapsodo and Edgertronic and this other like very fancy forward-thinking stuff that the White Sox are finally kind of demanding that he wrap his head around and use, and he's doing it to his credit.
It sounds like he does it through gritted teeth, though, when I hear sound bites.
You think so? I don't think so anymore.
Hey, if somebody uses the rap soda on the high-speed camera more than us, I'd like to shake their hand. It's out there, and we know what it is, and it turns out that over the years, I was always seeking these numbers that they have now, but we didn't have numbers. Me not being on board with this is fake news. And here's something that trumps all of the numbers, all of the spin rate, all of the vertical ride, all of the horizontal, a well-located pitch where you want to throw it.
Well, yes.
You're right.
That would be good.
That was with conviction.
Yes. Well, but the way that he talks about it, he gets it. He gets it now. Whatever they did for him to understand it, he totally gets it. This is not the enemy. That's the thing I've always tried to say about
numbers?
This stuff. Yeah.
We've always had them.
Yeah, they've always had things that now they have numbers for. Mm-hmm. Like, I always used to use this phrase to talk about the stuff called quantifiable scouting, I used to call it. Because all it is putting numbers on things that Coop has talked about forever. And he mentioned this again today. He was talking about that that Dylan Cease and Renato Lopez's fastball, that they're, despite really having good velocity, they have trouble with what the technology describes as spin axis issues. Okay. But Cooper says,
okay, can you slow that down for me?
Yes.
Can you help me?
Yes. Because some people look at Rapsodo or Edutronic data, and Cooper's looking at that now to figure out the spin axis issues. Cooper says all it is a way to talk about the concept that he has talked about for decades, angle, or getting on the side of the ball. So he's talked about as a pitcher for decades, just getting on the side of the ball. So that's all this is a way to measure that kind of stuff.
The now, very top of the line curveballs, the Mercedes-Benz curveballs.
So Cooper said, to relate to the guys that are weaned by numbers, us as teachers, we have to know them too and be adept at them. There's some effing BS going on that we're old school. We don't like it. We don't know. This is not scientific S going on. This is not brain surgery. The numbers are easy to get and easy to learn. Access to spin, easy. We've got it all. Turns out that Don Cooper embracing this stuff is not just entertaining. It's an awesome teachable moment.
Okay.
That you don't have to be afraid of this stuff. All it's doing is making the stuff that he's liked to talk about forever more relatable to young guys coming up and more teachable, easier to talk about.
Okay.
That's all it is.
So you see this as progress.
100%.
Okay, good.
Very, very good progress for Cooper, for the whole organization to be wrapping around the modern stuff.
He just sounds like such a meatball. It seems like no matter what comes out of his mouth with his New Yorkishness, it's unavoidable that you think he's against it.
But he doesn't have to be
afraid. We got a shake with a Hall of Famer's little brother here.
Okay.
Check this out.
Checking.
Jason Meisner of the Tribune reporting the brother of Bears legend Brian Urlacher, Casey Urlacher, among 10 people charged with running an illegal offshore sports gambling ring. Also charged are a Chicago cop.
Uh-oh.
And guys with names like Uncle Mick and Sweaters. Story to come.
Wow. Oh,
Casey Urlacher.
Oh.
And these are the things we do to derail Sox conversation.
Whatever it takes.
Thanks, Beaks. I appreciate it.
Hey, he's got to earn a living.
I was knee-deep in it. I was knee-deep in it, Teddy. Casey Urlacher.
Story is out. Casey Urlacher accused of acting as an agent for the gambling ring. He was recruiting bettors in exchange for a cut of their eventual losses.
Someone check on Danny Parkins.
See, I wondered, right, now that we have legalized gambling and soon to come well-established, highly connected to the government, gambling rings, stuff like this is in trouble, right? They're going to go after stuff like this as much as they possibly can.
I would think so. And we're getting toward legalized gambling. We just don't have everything done yet.
Right. Yeah. But as we get closer and as we get in, man, a Chicago cop? See, it used to be that a Chicago cop would have the pull to say, all right, fine, you found this out, but none of us are going down, okay? All right, good talk. Not anymore. Such is the strength of the state's investment in legal gambling, is that even a Chicago cop is not enough to keep this gambling ring alive.
Well, best of luck to all parties. I don't know what else to say about it. Casey Urlacher.
How do you suppose Sweaters got his nickname?
Sweaters.
How do you get the nickname Sweaters?
Oh, God. I got to
guess.
Great.
I got to guess. He's got a really hairy back. So even when he's wearing one sweater, feels like he's wearing two sweaters.
His throat is covered in fur. Man fur.
Hey, look at Sweaters over there. How's he doing? He's not doing so good right now. Sweaters is in trouble. All right, we'll keep checking on Sweaters, Uncle Mick, and Casey Arlecker.
Remember, Todd Berger got in trouble a while back. You remember Todd Berger?
Yeah, I do.
The former Bears offensive lineman. He was, and I can't remember some of the names, but he was in an article in the New York Star Ledger, is it? The paper out in Jersey? Is that the name of the paper?
Yeah.
I saw a story there a while back where he was in a gambling. He was the muscle for a guy running a bookie service, and there were all kinds of guys named Sweaters and all kinds of good ones. Unfortunately, I'm not pulling any of those names, but they're the typical names you would expect to see with
All right, I'm going to need a full list of nicknames.
Uncle Mick.
Sweaters. Are there more nicknames in the story that is now broken? We'll check and find out. So there's two things I need from Shep. I need a full list of nicknames of everybody involved in this, and I need a full list of everybody who's ever been busted with over 100 pounds of weed and just how much it is.
Athletes or celebrities? Celebrities of any type, or are you keeping it to athletes?
No, I think athletes.
Athletes?
It's a sports station, after all.
That's very much true, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have a new one. That's why it's in the news today.
Yeah. Greg Robinson with 157 pounds. 157 pounds of weed. You can't hold
we
a
talked
candle
about
to Nate
some,
Newton.
Yes, we talked about some of the former Bears involved earlier, and somebody texted and said, hey, man, Tim Worley's a good dude. I played football for him. He was my football coach. Whoops. Well, maybe. You can be a good dude and have a bunch of weed in your trunk.
Absolutely.
We never suggested he was a bad dude.
I got nothing against Nate Newton.
Right.
Never did.
Nate's a fine human.
I think so, despite the 213 pounds.
And he and some of his teammates were possessed a willingness to be pro marijuana way before it was acceptable to be pro marijuana when you were a professional athlete. Mark Stepnoski, the Cowboys center, was very much at the front of NORML, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, years ago, long before anybody ever thought it would be a possibility that it would ever be legalized for medicinal or recreational use.
Well, I hope that it has, and I believe it has, infiltrated the NFL to the point that people do not have to succumb to opioids and the dangers that that addiction brings to the level that they used to. Because they used to just be, you know, encouraged to do so and find their way there.
There's a bowl of them in the locker room.
That kind of stuff. So, look, if there's a bowl of vape pens in the locker room after the game, that's better.
They have to make that part of the next collective bargain. Don't you? I think I look at it as a no-brainer if how many states now have signed off on this medicinally that the NFL finally would get out of the way and not make marijuana testing part of its next CBA. They got to get out of the damn way.
Mm-hmm.
Science says otherwise. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
They're saying this helps for reduction of pain. People use this and get a benefit from it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're in talks. They're in talks the next couple of days. So I don't know how many things are going to be back on the table. But with the playoff thing happening, the 17-game season apparently going to happen in 2021, 17 regular season games, 3 preseason games. I'm sure all that stuff is on the table as they continue to talk.
Yeah, Bears rumors around the corner speaks.
Let's play the football version of what does it mean? What does it mean? We'll do it next on The Score.
Josh Jacobs made a really good start to his career, played really, really well last week. He arrived, or the draft pick arrived, as part of the Khalil Mack trade.
Oh, yeah.
With the way he's played, and obviously you're big friends with Khalil. Who do you think has won that trade?
Who's won the trade? I think both teams are winning the trade. I think if you can get Khalil Mack on your team, you're winning. If you can get Josh Jacobs on your team, you're winning. I think that's the best way to do it. That's my brother. I love him to death. Everyone knows that. He's one of my best friends. We'll be friends when we're all old and hopefully him with kids. You know, I'm trying to nudge him in that direction.
Derek Carr, when the Bears were in London taking on the Raiders this past NFL season, talking about his former teammate, Khalil Mack.
Fuel is all that people need, and it doesn't take much to get there. I remember in the summer of LeBron, when LeBron was a free agent, remember we started that's when I got hooked on Twitter, is I was like trying to desperately read tea leaves and right. figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, as White Sox fans were desperately trying to believe that Manny Machado was coming. What was it, Tanny? His gloves were silver and black?
Yeah, we sat here on this fine program, and Rawlings tweeted out the photo of the silver and black colored gloves with Manny Machado.
I recall it very well. Yeah.
What does it mean?
Exactly.
What does this mean?
Like a double rainbow, these things present themselves. Bryce Harper had a dog named Wrigley.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
So you've got Derek Carr exchanging pleasantries with Khalil Mack via social media now.
Well, yeah, actually, it's just Derek posting on his Instagram a picture of the two of them. I think it was without comment. It was the Carr picture hugging Khalil Mack.
Didn't it have a comment on the Instagram, hashtag Max Power or something like that?
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, from the London game. It was them hugging, and they were very close when they were teammates.
That was the only time Mack touched a quarterback that trip.
Oh.
There it is. Shot. That's how you do it.
He didn't produce enough. That's for damn sure.
Well, this all predicated on if the Raiders get additional help at the quarterback position. Because
yeah.
Derek Carr, I would think, fits into their plans. He's under contract for 3 more years. If Tom Brady winds up signing with the Raiders, mm-hmm. then they would likely be moving him. And so you do a little bit of connect the dots here, an Instagram post on Max Power, if that in fact...
Correction, Mega Power.
Mega Power.
Ooh,
okay.
Oh, that changes everything.
Mega Power.
What does it mean?
What does this mean?
He's 28 years old. Mack, as you mentioned, 3 years. Not Khalil Mack, but Danny Mack. Derek Carr... 21 and a half.
Just Mac being Mac. It's nothing new.
$21.5 million cap hit.
Yeah, he signed a 5-year, $125 million deal a few years ago. Right around 21.5, I think the cap hit would be this year, something in that ballpark.
Yes.
So that's doable if you're thinking here. And Khalil Mack would, of the names that have been kicked around, barring Tom Brady's name, that's the best I've heard. That does the most for me.
Well, yeah, it does more for me than Brady in terms of the possibility of like finding your guy and moving forward with a long window.
There are no long windows in this NFL.
Yeah.
It's win it now. It's win it this year.
I hear you. I thought Brady sucked last year. I really thought
he didn't
have a
good year. I won't dispute it.
I thought he looked like he couldn't throw the ball downfield with authority to save his life. I know he didn't have receivers, but I just thought he looked awful. But either way, Derek Carr at 28, just a couple years removed from looking awfully good and looking like one of the future great quarterbacks of this league.
Yeah, I was surprised earlier today when I looked up his salary and to find he's only 28. I thought he'd been around longer than that. Didn't you have? I would have pegged Derek Carr for at least 30 at this point.
For 30 years old?
Yes.
Yeah.
Been at it for a little while.
Yeah, no.
Hasn't quite gotten to the place where they were expecting him to go. I expected, after the way it started for Carr, to be more successful than he's been. But he also has been on some really lousy teams. So you can light all the excuses you want on his tree. If you so desire, some of them would be valid.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, given my choice, Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, pretty easy one for me. Or any of these other guys who we've talked about who may be on the move, the Andy Daltons of the world.
Now, the perception that Derek Carr had a bad year or at least a regressive year last year, would you say that's the perception? Like your knee-jerk reaction?
He was okay this past year. He was better this past year, I think, than the year prior. Without looking it up, I feel pretty comfortable suggesting that.
He sure was. In fact, it was the highest quarterback rating of his life.
Yeah.
100.8 quarterback rating, 21 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, played 97% of the snaps, which is the second most of his career. So he was certainly available. I mean, he had those very good years, 2015 and 2016, but even those years at 96.69 is the highest quarterback rating. 2016, highest quarterback rating of his life last year. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, I
just
wouldn't
based
have
on the
either.
Way it feels.
And you know, and what are his weapons? He's got a running back who was a first year player last year, and he's got a tight end.
Found a great tight end.
That's all they got.
And Darren
right?
Waller.
What else do they have?
I would jump at the chance to have Derek Carr on this team. I would jump.
Over 10? Hell yeah.
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 I would. I'd rather have him than Brady. I would. If given the choice, Carr over Brady, yeah, give me Carr.
If Brady craps the bed again this year, you can spike the ball and say, I told you so. At some point, he's going, and some would say, well, what more evidence do you need than this past year? He wasn't very good. He wasn't. I'm not saying he was.
He also can't move. Just can't move, of course.
He wasn't the reason they lost their playoff game to the Titans. Their offensive line and defensive lines played without any guts that day, mm-hmm. but... Yeah, I don't know where this is all going to go and when it's going to happen. It's probably the drama is pretty significant. I don't remember a time when there were this many quarterbacks shuffling around and a couple of them Hall of Fame bound guys.
Yeah, Philly Rivers and Tom Brady are going to be pursued by some very, very interesting teams. Boomer Esiason is the one who said Cowboys on this show. He said Cowboys for Brady like a while ago, maybe a month ago or 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get that one out of my head because it just feels like it makes all the sense in the
world.
Danny
and I both thought Indianapolis and Tennessee were great fits, but... Tennessee players are rallying hard for Ryan Tannehill. I saw something Derrick Henry said last week. You know, hey, we're okay here at this position. That's pretty big when the names that are being talked about are guys who are future Hall of Famers, and one of them, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So in terms of Brady, Rivers, Bridgewater, Carr, Jameis Winston. Guys like that out there.
Andy Dalton
God, via trade.
I still got to go Brady. I do, but I understand why you're reticent. I totally get that. I would choose Brady 1 and Derek Carr 1A. That's how I would cut it. And Teddy Bridgewater is 2.
Yeah. I don't. So who said that they liked the Dalton idea? Was it Hub? Somebody said that they liked that idea. I don't want to attribute it to Hub if he doesn't want it. Somebody said a thing.
Someone must have said something.
Out loud.
People say things.
Yeah.
Also, in Raiders camp, I saw today their grievance with Antonio Brown's grievance against the Raiders. It's scheduled for May. He is trying to seek something like $30 million. And this is a guy who texted his bosses and says, I quit. He texted, he tweets, I quit, I'm done. And now he is trying to go back and sue them. And I don't think he's got a snowball's chance at winning that.
I can't imagine.
I would think the arbitrator in this grievance would issue a ruling far more quickly than the arbitrator did in the Chris Bryant deal.
One would assume.
Look at this dude's history both before that happened and after. What are you talking about? He basically resigned. He quit.
Opening bell is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. Get a full service oil change for $18.99 at CarX Tire and Auto. And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and Northwestern Football return to Wrigley Field on November 7th as they host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now at nusports.com. Next hour, Lavelle Neal from Minnesota will educate us about the Twins. And David Ross is doing something that very few of us have ever seen in camp. I want to see if you think it's odd or not. We'll talk about it next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.